Well, we've been in a series on Wednesday nights. We preach on faith and healing, teach and preach on faith and healing. We've been doing Wednesday nights for about 5.5 years, I think. Yeah. And so ever since we started them, we felt to preach on faith and healing on Wednesday nights. And so there's a steady flow of that. And we've been in a series called What Faith Is. And so if you weren't with us for I think this is the fourth one for the first three, then they're on the website, and I encourage you to go back and listen to those because they build on one another. We can't go back and cover everything that we covered. We take these lessons, you know, not verbatim at all, but these particular ones, there's a Bible faith study course that Kenneth Hagin Sr. put out a long time ago. And so these lessons, I think there's like 26 of them in there, and we'll go through these, but we just camp on what we need to camp on, move on if we need to. It's just kind of a loose outline. You know, sometimes I read some of the accounts that he gives, but, you know, that's what we're pulling from here in this case. But we went through and talked about, well, first, before we get going, let's go ahead and turn over to Hebrews 11:1. That's kind of the text that we've been on. Let's read that, and then let's go. I'll recap a little bit, and then we'll go on to this next part. Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1, everybody there? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the word substance there means the foundation or what stands under things hoped for, and we've talked about this. And true Bible hope, when you read hope in the Bible, if you'll replace it with expectation or expect, it'll help you, because the way we use hope is kind of wish. When you say, well, I hope so, you're not meaning I expect it. You mean, I wish it would be so. Boy, I sure hope I win the lottery. That's what people say that. They don't mean I'm expecting to win the lottery. They mean that would be awesome, but it's probably never going to happen. Well, when you talk about Bible hope, when you see hope in the Bible, it does not mean wish. It means you confidently expect something. So it says faith is the substance or the title deed or the undergirding of things hoped for. So why would you expect something? Why would you hope something? It's because you believe something. And that's, you know, we spent some time on that in past messages. And talking about how faith comes. Faith comes, we spent a whole series on that. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. If you know how faith comes, then you can kind of start to hone in, like what we're talking about now, what faith is and it isn't, because faith comes by hearing His Word. So you can't have faith for something that you haven't seen in His Word. And people miss this all the time. They try to say, well, I'm going to believe for something. Well, what are you believing? A lot of times people are just pulling something out of the air and say, well, I'm going to use my faith toward that. Well, you can't just use your faith toward anything. You have faith in what He said. And if you believe what He said and don't move, then you'll have what He said. If He didn't say it, who are you believing? You're not believing anything. You're making something up. And that's where a lot of people with the whole faith message got off in the ditch. Well, I claim this. Claim what? You know, well, if God put it on your heart, that's one thing. You got to be led by the Spirit. You can claim things. But it's got to be based on what He said, either by His Word or what He spoke to your heart. And that's a whole other message as far as how you know, well, what did He speak to your heart? Well, every child of God can be led by the Spirit of God. In Romans, in Romans chapter 8, it says that they that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we can be led by the Spirit of God. He can lead you on the inside and believe. And I've done that in many things where you get a witness on the inside. Yeah, believe for this. If he's telling you something and to claim it, telling you something to believe for that, you can stand on that. It's a word of God. But it's never going to violate anything else in the word of God. It's going to be in the framework of the word of God. But what people would end up doing is they pull something out of the air that's not God, and then they try to believe for it. Well, you're not believing anything. You're not believing what he said in any way, shape, or form, so then it doesn't happen. And so then people wonder, well, that faith stuff doesn't work. Well, you're not talking about faith stuff. You're talking about something you made up. And so anyway, that's another thing. But we talked about some of that. But it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. And so we talked, hope in the truest sense, what we're talking about here is expectation. But like we said, the way people use it today is like wish. And so we've been talking about, when you talk about what something is, sometimes it's helpful to talk about what it's not and then hone in on what it is. And so we spent some of the first couple times messages talking about that faith is not wishing. And if you didn't listen to those, I encourage you to go back and listen to them because they'll help you. And that's where we're going into some other things. But that's a biggie right there. Because a lot of people, you may not call it wishing, but intense desire, thinking something, it would be amazing if God would quote-unquote answer some prayer. It's wishing. That's not the same as faith. It's like throwing something up and hoping it'll stick with God. Well, throw a lot. You pray for me. Get everybody praying. That's not going to work. Unless it's based on the Word of God. In other words, you getting more people to pray for you about something is not going to help you obtain it. If it's God's will and you stand on what He said, more people asking Him to do something that's not His will is not going to help. If He didn't say it already, and you know this in the natural. I mean, how many of you, if you've had children, and one of your kids comes and asks you to do something, can we watch this show or can we have this, and you said no, and you don't have any intention on changing your mind? Now, I have four kids, so I could get four of them coming to ask me. It's not going to matter how many people ask me. If it's not already something, if I had determined not to do it, it's not going to happen. But people have this idea with God that we got to twist His arm. Because doesn't God know I really need this? So let's really ask Him and maybe He'll change His mind. That's a really bad picture of God. That somehow He's withholding from us. But if we, you know, so and this is where people get totally off with, they think faith, they really are wishing for something, or they think they need it, so if they pray real earnestly, that basically maybe it'll happen. That's not faith. It doesn't matter how much you want it. It doesn't matter how much you need it. Did you know that? That's not faith. You could need something, and this is where people have missed it. Now, I'm not going to recap everything we said, but for those that were here, just to segue into where we're going, this is where people have gotten off and quit on God or got disgruntled because they needed something very badly. And I've heard specific stories, and you probably have too. Somebody's loved one was in trouble, and the person whose loved one was in trouble, maybe they were, you know, a child. Maybe they were 6 or 7 or 8 or 10, or maybe they were 16, or maybe they were an adult. But somebody they knew had a health issue or needed something, or there was an automobile accident, and they called out to God and they needed help and something didn't happen, and therefore prayer doesn't work. This is what they conclude. Prayer doesn't work. God's not real. Any number of things. And they turn their back. Has anybody else ever heard something like that? Well, what's the presumption here? I needed something really bad. I wanted something. I asked and it didn't happen. Therefore, it's God's fault. He should have happened. That's what the insinuation is. There is no way this shouldn't have happened if there's a God, because I needed it really bad and I wanted it really bad. And I asked, so I should have had it. Is that not the conclusion? And people get mad over this. And people turn their back on God. They get mad. And even in people where they've heard about faith. I did what the Bible said and it didn't happen. Well, what's the insinuation here? God's wrong. Or what we thought about what the word said, it's not wrong. Has it ever occurred that maybe our understanding of faith is wrong? So, you know, you can think, you know how to operate. Most of you probably in here have operated like a stick shift car, right? Some point, most people in here. Now, you can't hardly find them, you know, I guess, unless you're driving a sports car or something. But just because if you think that a manual transmission operates like an automatic transmission, I don't care how much you think that, how much you want the car to go. If you're in the middle of like the cold that we've been having, you know, let's say, and we haven't even had cold compared to other parts of the country, you know. I mean, talking to one of my friends up in upstate New York, good night. I mean, it's cold, but around here it was cold enough, you know, 10 below and wind chill. You're out in the middle of nowhere, and you really, you have to get in this car, and it's not yours, and you want to drive it, and you believe it operates, it's a manual transmission, and you believe it operates just like an automatic. I don't care how much you want it to move, how much you need it to move. When you try to press the gas, come on, if you number one, you wouldn't know how to start the thing. You probably wouldn't have put the clutch in when you started it. But if you just try to operate it like an automatic transmission, is it going to go anywhere? Well, why not? I mean, you need it to go somewhere. You want it to go somewhere. And as far as you know, it operates this way. So it's the car's fault. It's the manufacturer's fault. It's the exact same thing. This is and that's so obvious. If you know, if you've ever driven a stick, you're like, well, of course it's not going to work. People do it all the time with God. I need it. I'm sincere. I'm asking. It's not happening. It's God's fault, or it's the whole teaching's fault. Couldn't be my misunderstanding of it. Couldn't be that the word's true, and I'm trying to make it work this way, and actually if I just get into gear here, it will work. Amen. So faith is not wishing. That we spend some time on that. It's not hoping in the sense of wishing. Real Bible hope is true. So we spend some time on that. Another thing is that faith is not of in the head. The Bible says faith is of the heart. It's not in your head. You don't understand and figure out how to believe God. And when you can figure it all out, then it's going to work. That's not true. Well, once I understand, we talked about this a little bit on Sunday, but this is a kind of a separate series, but we touched on this very thing a little bit on Sunday, you know, and actually, you know, the Christmas message, we talked about it, you know, we touched on like the virgin birth and Jesus coming. People have always thought this, but, you know, lately, now, we're so quote-unquote advanced, you know, in 2018 now, we know so much that, you know, people say, well, we know that's just a made-up story. Poor ignorant people out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, they made that story up. We know that's not, of course, true. And people say the miracles, quote-unquote, in the Bible, they're just, you know, they didn't really happen that way. It was some natural phenomenon. I mean, we got to explain how that could happen. That always intrigues me, how people are trying to explain what happened in the Bible as if it had to have a natural cause. If you believe that there's an almighty God, all kinds of things are possible. So I don't know. That's really not hard to believe once you get lined up with the Almighty God that created all this physical realm. But you don't, if you try to go at it, well, I have to understand exactly how Mary was able to conceive Jesus without having a natural relationship. You're going to understand that. You're not going to be able to understand it. That doesn't mean you're ignorant. That doesn't mean you're sticking your head in the sand. Again, it comes back to, if God's word said it, do you believe this? Do you believe when you read John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, that that's actually a person's account of something that really happened and that people did see Jesus, they did see the star, that she was actually with child without any kind of natural relationship, that, you know, as he went on, the miracles that he did were actually eyewitness accounts, that he did actually go to the cross and raise from the dead, or that he was seen by, you know, 500 people at once. Do you believe those are human beings that actually saw something, or do you believe they're all liars and all made it up, or they're just too out of their head? I mean, it's a choice. Do you see it's a choice? You can choose to believe one or the other. But it is not something that you just say, well, okay, when you explain the physics of all that to me, then maybe I'll believe. It's too late to believe. Believing isn't that. Believing, faith is of your heart. It's not of your head. And if we just get that straight, now you can kick into faith mode even when your head's going, what? Turn over real quick to, just so you can see it, you know, we use this scripture frequently in this because it applies, and of course we use other scriptures too, but we read this on Sunday, but in this context, just look at Romans 10 real quick. Just where you can see it says, you know, faith is of the heart. We'll look at Romans 10, verse 8, and we could, let's see. Yeah, we can go over, we'll go over to Mark 11, too, just to hold, you can hold your fingers. And we actually touched on these same verses on Sunday. But Mark 11, go ahead and hold your finger in Romans 8 and turn over to Mark 11, too, and then we'll just show you these two, and then we'll probably go back to Mark 11. And then hopefully we'll get to another example. I can show you a few things from an example in Acts. Oh, we covered a lot. We covered some things related to this in nursery. I don't want to re-preach those things, but all these things are related. When you talk about faith, it's such a big subject, but there's so many things that are so basic. People are missing it in the basics, not in the complicated stuff. You don't need to get super deep on certain things. It's just missing it in just, you know, I don't claim to know everything about faith, but the things that I've learned, I've realized, wow, okay. That thing that I was, that was really basic. It go over as like, oh, okay, I'm not actually in faith. I see it now. And it's just, it's real basic. It's like people are trying to go off and get all these deep revelations and listen to, you know, 50 different messages. I'm going to get it. See, you're trying to understand it with your head. And really, you can get it the first time going, yep, I see it, I believe, all right. And what we're talking about right here, that it's not of your head, ooh, this can help you so much. If you understand what we're talking about, this can help because the devil wants to, Satan is a master deceiver and he works on your mind. And he is a master at it, master con artist. And he'll get you in the reasoning realm. So if you realize your head, you can get out of your head and you just hook up with your heart, then, man, you're ahead of the game. Look at Romans 10, verse 8. It says, what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Where? Believe where? In your head? In your right arm? No, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved, for with the heart one believes. For with the heart one believes. Now, is he talking about your physical organ? No. Now, we could talk about spirit, soul, and body. Messages on that. You could go listen to... what we need to understand is that we're a three-part being. Okay, we're not going to go into this, but we need to understand that. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, 24, at the end of there... just hold your finger. You got three fingers? Just look at it just real quick. Go to 1 Thessalonians. We'll just have you lay your eyes on this just so in case it's not familiar to you. I'm not going to teach on this. Go look at the website and listen to, I don't remember what I have them titled, but there's messages on there about the three-part nature of man. And I know specifically, just so if you're looking, there's one being led by the Spirit. And in the beginning of those series, it's the three-part nature of man. If you go look on the website, you'll find that. And we go into it in more detail. But look, it's 2 Thessalonians. Or no, it's 1 Thessalonians. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." May your whole spirit, soul, and body. So you are a spirit, you have a soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. And so those are the three parts of man. You are a spirit. That's the eternal. The Bible said, they that worship God, in John, they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we could go into this, but when it talks about your heart in the Bible, it's talking about the inside man, the real you, the spirit, your spirit. We'll go over, we're in Romans 10. Okay, so I'm going to touch on that just a minute. Spirit, soul, and body. Okay, go to Romans. Romans 2:29. Romans 2:29. Actually, we'll look at verse 28. You still hold in Romans 10, though. Come on, you have more than two fingers. You could have... Well, it's only, 8 chapters back, you'll get there. So we're in Romans 2, but we're going to go to Mark 11, and we're going to go to Romans 10 again. But look at verse 28. It said, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit." It is that circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So when he's talking about circumcision is from the heart, he's talking about inwardly, he's talking about your spirit. And then he's talking about some law and spirit things there as well. But he's talking about in the spirit realm, not in the flesh realm. So when it talks about 1 Thessalonians 5:23, spirit, soul, and body, you are a spirit, you have a soul, that's your mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. So you don't believe God with your body, not with your physical heart. You don't believe God with your mind. And a whole lot of Christians, areas of Christianity are trying to approach God with their mind. Now, I'm not saying you shut your brain off. God gave us our brain. But you don't worship him with your head. Now, you may be singing songs, which is obviously going through your head and coming out your mouth. Your brain is actuating your mouth and your vocal cords and all that. Where it's emanating from is not your head. And people have tried to approach God with their head and get real intellectual. And that's not how you approach God. You approach God by faith. You can't understand him. You can understand what he's revealed in his word about himself, but you're not going to be able to wrap your brain around God. Well, I got to have it all explained to me before I'll believe. Really? You couldn't do it. We don't have the capacity. The smartest person among us doesn't have the capacity to understand the Almighty. So you know what it boils down to? If he said it, then I believe it. Just like a little child would do to somebody our age. To you, they're little. And there's just some things you could try to explain it to a three-year-old, and when you get done, they have no clue what you're talking about. You could explain it to them. They're not going to get it. So in some things, you just have to say, Daddy said so. Mommy said so. That's why. Okay. And they can get by like that. They don't have to understand all the stuff about it. They just have to understand what you said. Well, us compared to God, that's not even a good analogy. A three-year-old compared to you is not the same as you compared to God. There is a much bigger, or me, much bigger gap. So when we say, I want to understand it all before I'll do it. If a three-year-old told you that, be like, honey, that's not going to happen anytime soon. Just, if you'll just believe me, you can have the benefits today. But if you think you have to understand me, number one, they wouldn't ask that question. Because they don't even have enough. But if you're 10-year-old or you're a teenager, 20-year-old, well, even when you get, we keep growing. We understand. We don't understand as well, or shouldn't. As we grow in age and grow in experience, we know more than we did 10 years ago. Somebody that's just getting married doesn't understand what it's like to be married. And just because you're getting ready to have children doesn't mean you know what it's like to have children. And just because this one I haven't experienced, just because you think you know what it's like to have kids out of the house, you don't know what it's like and I don't want my kids to get out of the house. But I'm saying there's different stages where you could try to explain it to somebody, but they don't get it, do they? Oh yeah, I get it. I get what it'll be like when I have a child. You just have them and you keep going on with your life. Oh really? It's just, it's an addition. No, it changes your life upside down. Well, there's certain things you can't understand. Just even in human terms, a 10-year-old could ask you, I'm not going to do anything unless I understand it. Well, you can't explain it. You can try and you say, now you'll understand when you're older, right? Sometimes that is the right answer. You can't understand it now. Well, how much more with God? Men and women all over the world are saying, defiantly, prove that there's a God. God has already revealed himself. He had said so in the Bible, in Romans, which we could turn back one more chapter. It says it in Romans that he's revealed himself through his creation. But people won't look at that and believe, man, somebody had to create this. They'll say, prove there's a God. And they try to understand it with their mind. Well, how could this happen in the Bible? See, there's no way the sea could split. Really? You know everything to know about the universe. There's no way. That seems really easy when you believe in an almighty God. That's nothing. Well, how did the universe get created out of nothing? It didn't get created out of nothing. There's an almighty God that spoke it into existence. For me, that is much easier to believe than that this thing just came from what? But if you believe in an almighty God, for him to say, light be, that's not hard. But how do you get there? You want to understand all the stuff behind it? Well, we can understand certain things in a little bit, and we're getting more understanding. But for us to defiantly say, I have to understand it, we can't understand it all. We're never going to get to the point where you understand exactly how everything that the Word reveals is true. How does the blood of Jesus being shed for all of mankind, the billions that have lived, that is more than enough to pay for all the sin that has ever been committed, ever will, and that all we have to do is believe on him, and regardless of what we have done or not done, believing on him is enough to make a person renewed in his spirit, completely recreated, and be right with God. You wrap your mind around that. You can't, but you can take it by faith. So we go back to go back to Romans 10. So it is not of the head. Faith is not of the head. Verse 9 again, Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Does it say, if you could understand how it is possible that a person crucified could be, you know, put in a tomb and then could raise from the dead. If you can understand it, you can be saved. Is that what it says? It doesn't say that. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What if your mind's going, I don't get that. Did it say, and if your mind can't quite comprehend or you have a doubt in your mind, that then you cannot be saved? Does it say that? It just says, if you believe, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It doesn't say with your mind. That's not faith. Faith is not of your head. Go over to Mark 11, where I told you to go earlier. Hopefully you have a finger there. And then we'll wrap up this part. Everybody there? So Mark 11, verse 22, it says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. I'm going to read it through and then we'll go back through it slowly. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Now, go through that again. Verse 22, have faith in God. Verse 23, for assuredly, he's saying it's a sure thing. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. Now, notice he didn't stop there. He didn't just say to say it. He said, be removed and be cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart. Where do we just read in Romans 10, where do you believe God? It's in your heart. And so he's saying, if you don't doubt in your heart, but believes, where would you believe? In your heart. That those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So he says here, the Bible says here, if you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe, and you could say in your heart, that whatever you say shall come to pass, you will have whatever you say. Now notice the components. He's saying something, but he's believing something where? In your heart. Did it say anything about your head? Here's some of the best news you've ever heard in your life. Faith will work. It will work with faith in your heart, even if you have doubt in your head. And many people have been pushed off by thinking they're having thoughts and they can't wrap their mind around it, and they say, I must not be believing. But faith is not of the head. Thoughts come to everybody, and you're not going to always understand. You won't understand everything. You won't understand how what the Word says could be true in your circumstances. How could I be healed of this? The doctors say this and that, and if you let you get into your head, you'll start saying, how is that possible? And the good news is you can bypass all that and say, God said it, and I believe what he said. And the Bible says if you'll act in faith from your heart, then it will work regardless if your head's spinning. Amen. And where the enemy will push you off and get you to where, you know, you say, well, you're doubting, it's not working. You can cut him off at the knees and say, I believe, even though there's thoughts there, and if you know that it'll still work, you can push them out and say, it's working anyway, I believe. It will help you to push past what you see. Because you'll realize it is not my head. My head. I've seen this so many times in my own life. Feeling like, I know there's symptoms on my body. I know that's a cold, flu. There's something coming. And you come against it and pray and believe. And your head wants to go, nothing changed. It's not working. And if you start latching on to that, oh, it's not working. I don't see it. Well, I must pray. I have to pray again because you're totally walking by sight. And you're totally in your head. And when you start, if you start hooking up with your heart and start saying, I said it, I believe it, and that's it. And even if your head's going, you say, nope, I said it, and you stay there, something happens. And instead of you being defeated and pushed off, we actually start to see what the Bible says. And if you would have gone by what your head was saying, you'd say, ah, there's no way it's not working. I don't see how this could change anything. We've seen that many times with the church finances. There was times when it was like, you know, God, we're doing what we believe you told us to do here. And if I were to go by what I was seeing in the natural, there was nothing that I could see any way certain things were going to happen. But you just say, I'm not going by what I can understand. If I was going by what I understand, I wouldn't be in Massachusetts. Because I didn't understand how I could come out here with no family. And people would ask us, well, what, do you know somebody? No, never been there. Why are you moving there? Because I believe God told us. But then there's certain times where you're looking at going, how are we going to pay for this? Because when we started, we didn't have a congregation. And we had a building. And time after time, there'd be something happen where it'd start coming in from a different source. We didn't know about it. If I'm going by my head, I'm done. I don't see anything. But you step through that door and something comes up, and then you go and, that source is, there's nothing there either. But, and so you come up to another place, and then something else pops up. But you don't believe God with your head. It's with your heart. Do you believe God knows some things we don't know? Do you think there's anything that he knows that we don't know? Well, then why don't we just get into the mode that if he said it, we believe it, and that's it? I don't have to understand, because what I understand is just about less than a thimbleful compared to the universe with what he understands. So if he said it, well, he must know something. I don't know. Here we go. We're gonna believe him anyway with our hearts jumping out and saying, God, I believe you're true. And your head's going, I have no clue how this is going to happen. But if he said it, here we go. Amen. Faith is not of your head. Faith is not of your head. It's not. Everybody say it. Faith is not of my head. It's not of my head. It's of my heart. It's with my heart I believe. Say, I believe God. I choose to believe God. If God said it, I believe it. And that settles it. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. Amen.